Welcome back. Welcome in. What a joyous day it is. The Detroit Lions are headed to the NFC Championship. Andrew, hit me with it. What does this mean for you in this city?
I think it means a lot more to every other Lions fan out there. Everybody is just stoked. As you alluded to, had a lot of phone calls, a lot of texts going on right now. I'm still looking back at all the highlights. I don't know how many times I've watched the Barnes catch.
I have received as many texts as you. It has been this has been a long time coming. When we started this podcast a couple years ago, this is the second season of the Lion's Share podcast. We had dreams of this, but Andrew, in reality, did we ever really think that this was going to happen and happen this quick?
Well, when Dan came in, Dan and the Brad regime came in, we said what? We know that he was at least walked into there and no issues. He was guaranteed 3 years. And you were thinking 3 years, and that's when we were going to see life. And that's when he said, see, I just need a couple more things. And we were thinking the 5 year mark. And this just kind of extends the window.
Mitch, what does it mean to you as a lifelong Lions fan? Does this feel like real life?
I think it feels like real life because we've seen the whole thing from start to finish. And like you said, it is quick. Like, to rebuild, and not just rebuild, I think it's there's rebuilds where you just bring in talent. A top to bottom culture shift, I think, usually takes more time, or should take more time. But when you get the right people, Sheila Ford Hamp takes over, goes and gets Brad Holmes, they bring in Dan Campbell, like everyone just gels and meshes so perfectly. So it's just incredible. I mean, the city of Detroit deserves it. We were talking about it. It's like 15, 20, 30 minutes after the game and no one has moved. Just incredible scenes in Detroit.
It means so much. It means so much to everybody, myself included. We've been waiting for this for so, so long. It's hard to even fathom that this is in front of us, that this is real life. But like you said, we've seen it. We've seen each and every step of this journey. It's at times it's felt long and at times it's felt super quick. So all in all, just incredible. The Lions are headed to the NFC Championship. Although it took all the way until the fourth quarter for the Lions to create some sort of separation in this one. It was lockstep all game long, and a typical Lions game where it was roller coaster all the way. And it finally ends on a game sealing interception from none other than Derek Barnes. And the Lions win it 31-23 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You guys have that on your bingo card, a Derek Barnes game sealing interception to end this one?
I can't imagine what the we're going to have to refer to Mitch on it, but whatever the odds were on that, if you're going to parlay it together with the Detroit Lions win, that's got to be through the roof.
Can't imagine it was even an option out there anywhere.
Incredible. Incredible. What was the feelings like compare this to the Rams game? I would say for me, I felt fairly confident throughout the Rams game, like that they were going to win this game. Today, I didn't have that feeling. I felt like at any point in time, the Lions were could be caught with their pants down, and we could be seeing Baker Mayfield heading the NFC Championship. What were you guys feeling like throughout the game?
Something similar. I mean, it's just I think I felt the most comfortable, obviously, when they were up 31-17, but up until that point, it just never felt like it was without a doubt. And then at 31-17, I think the offense was clicking, and it was in my mind, I was like, all right, even if they give one up here, the offense is doing what it should be doing. But at the end, when they let them go down in a minute and a half drive and score, and you're going for the 2-point conversion, it's like, all right, yep, diapers back on.
Yeah, this was a multi-diaper game through and through. And to me, it started like they started the game with no real sense of urgency, and it kind of carried throughout the game, and thought we were just going to have an extreme letdown there for a while. And good on the defense to keep fighting.
Just felt like a game where there were games within the games. A game with like several games within the game here today. Each quarter was different. You know, for end of the first quarter, it was 3-3 at the half 10-10. 17-17 going into the fourth, and then finally some separation. Finally, we see some urgency that you were speaking of, Andrew. And you were kind of pointing towards that Brock Wright trick. I don't want to call it a trick play necessarily, but the play they ran against the Jets last year to win the game in New York last year. They pulled that out of the hat again this year, this week, and at a huge point in that game. How much of a spark do you think that provided, Andrew?
I mean, we talk about it all the time. Game of momentums, and Tampa Bay right before the half gets a score. They're turning around. They're getting the ball back. They had all the momentum in the world, and to have Brock, like, at a time when our offense just could not seem to put it together. They were driving, sometimes three and out, just kind of a lull and during the middle quarters of the game there. And Brock Wright gets that big first down plus, and that was kind of the tidal wave of momentum that kind of changed everything, and the offense just went up from there.
And once again, we see that Brock Wright, not the speedy guy, you know. Some guys probably could have made a house call out of that one. However, Brock Wright, I think we looked at his 40 time last year. It's certainly up there. Not the speediest guy out in the field, but a sure-handed receiver at that.
I'd like to wish you guys a happy anniversary. 3 years ago today, Dan Campbell started talking about biting kneecaps.
3 years to the day. It's almost storybook at this point. It's in the, yeah, I thought you stole that from the doc, but did you just see that on Twitter or something?
Well, I don't have X, but I did see it on the ether waves, yeah.
The Dez Bryant X. Yeah, that makes it even better of a story.
It's so sweet. I remember turnaround is just like, and all the people that should eat crow tomorrow, all the people that shredded Dan Campbell for trying to bring some attitude and some realness to a coaching press conference. Suck it back, Ro.
Have we heard anything from Dan? I know we're recording this right immediately after the game. So we've only really taken in the post game that NBC did. So we haven't seen the celebration in the locker room, but we're itching to see it. And we're itching to see what we get out of the coaching staff as well as the front office after this one. We know we saw Brad Holmes celebrating in the elevator last week. I'm sure he's even more elated this week. We've got Dan at the podium, right meow. Andrew, if you want to turn the volume up on that just to listen for yourself. We saw Dan at halftime on NBC. It very much looked like a guy without a voice, or at least on the verge of losing his voice. So does he have a voice right now? No? Okay. You can talk. You have a microphone.
Sorry, panicked. Was trying to get the word from Dan. He is oddly calm. Not his normal fired up self, which is the crazy thing. Basically just said had trust in Goff and the offense the entire time. Knew they were going to need some big throws. Knew Baker was going to do the same thing, essentially. But the biggest thing for me listening to him is that he's not like raspy. He's not fired up at all right now. It looks like he had that moment, and he already looks like he's moved on from it, and is ready for the next.
He's on to San Francisco. I love that. What can you say about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I mean, it's the playoffs, right? Everybody's playing up. There's a lot of things that the Lions could have improved on in this game and need to work on, of course, each and every week, right? We harp on the same things, the secondary, the defense, the offense between Ben Johnson and his play calling. But, you know, you're going to get the best shot of everybody right now. It's the playoffs, and you're in a playoff run. Say what you want about Tampa Bay, you know, the fact that they're probably one of the lesser teams in the playoff field. But you got to give them credit. And the Lions probably could have won this one a little more handedly, but more than 8 points for sure. But all in all, a gritty one, and finally did find themselves in the fourth quarter. And I'm glad they did. And I can't wait to see what kind of material they have going into Santa Clara next week for the 49ers. It's incredible. I can't even believe that's coming out of my mouth right now, that we're talking about an NFC championship next weekend. It's a bummer. It's a bummer that now the Ford Field home field advantage is gone. But hey, we've seen how strong these Road Warrior Lions fans can be. And that was in the regular season. So imagine how many people are going to travel out there to Santa Clara, do a little early spring break, and head out there for the game next Sunday. That's going to be us. I would venture to say that there will be quite a few Lions fans at that game.
He did just give an update injury-wise on Brock and Jonah. He said both of those guys doesn't look great for next week on both of them.
Yeah, that's the bummer. Today was the injury day. After last week's pretty healthy endeavor, this week it was injury after injury for both teams. We had four of them go down. We had Ragnow, who we'll talk about here in a minute. Jonah Jackson, who you just spoke on. Brock Wright, who you just spoke on. And Josh Reynolds also left this game at one point to go to the locker room, but did come back and came back to play. So of those four players, two of them came back in. Two of them look like they may be headed for extended stays on the injury report, which stinks, but it is that time of year. And we'll get an update on them as far as Wednesday goes. But let's talk about Frank Ragnow while the opportunity arises. I mean, you want to talk about the very definition of grit. He was all of that and more today, was he not?
I think he deserved the flowers he got. It's almost like he, at the end of the game, you kind of see Goff or someone was trying to guide him, telling him where to go to do like the stars of the game thing. And he's like, what? Like, he didn't know what to do, but good for him. I mean, we talked about it a lot during the game. There's just nothing that was going to keep him out. And one of those guys that has put in the time right there with Decker and deserves it. Just the epitome of grit.
Yeah, I was texting you guys, very worried when Ragnow went down. We had already lost Jonah Jackson. And we talked about it with Trent Williams and the 49ers. I mean, it's absolute team killers when you lose vital parts to your offensive line. And when you're down two of them at that, it's really hard to come back from. So glad Ragnow was able to sustain that injury, keep going. Mr. Nine Toes still just fights through. I'm going to assume he's going to be on about four rest days this week.
Yeah, for sure. He already had the knee back toe rest day this week. I think we're going to see him doing the same this week. But man, just embodied grit, just embodied it today. And in that moment where he goes down, it was one of those moments where things started to snowball. The offense was stalling out. Jared takes his one sack of the day there. And on top of that, Frank Ragnow gets hurt right after Jonah Jackson was hurt. And the momentum was already shifting to Tampa Bay. And that's when the worry started for me. And because we knew that Tampa Bay was going to get the ball out of the half. And what they did in that 4-minute stretch could have been the game changer in this one. Luckily, the defense did come out strong in the second half and held them to a 3-and-out there. That was huge. A couple of them back-to-back there for the defense.
Speaking of that, were you surprised they didn't try and onside it there?
At the end? No, I mean, there's what, 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes left? You've got two timeouts. I don't see a reason why, especially after you just went for two. Like, I think at that point, that's far too aggressive already after you've gone for two, which that looked like a player's decision, by the way. I don't want to get us too far off track, but we saw Todd Bowles go immediately like this, 1-1-1-1, and then all of a sudden the offense is still out there. So that to me felt like Baker Mayfield and the boys wanted to go out there and try to get an opportunity to win the game on the next series. But no, not surprised to see no onside there, really. I mean, if there's less than 3 minutes, yeah, but north of four, I don't have any surprise there. Did you have any surprise, Mitch?
No, I agree with you. I think it's just too much time left in the game. And honestly, if you figure out a way, if you're the Bucs and you can figure out a way to do what you did in the first half and contain them, like you've already done it. So it's just trying to figure out how to contain them again. And realistically, they did. I mean, the Bucs had a very real chance to win this game at the end.
Way too close for comfort.
Multiple diapers, like Andrew said.
Yeah, just when you thought like that, they go up 31-17, and you feel like, okay, I can kind of maybe take the diaper off. No, no. 4th and 15. That was your ball game right there, and the defense goes blitz happy there, and Baker finds a way out of it. Defense loses contain, and they get the first down there, and then that eventually leads to the touchdown. Did you guys see the reaction that Baker had on the sack earlier in that drive before they got into the 4th and 15?
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. It was Jalen Mews-Maben, right? It's just kind of like, it kind of tried to flop a little bit. It looked like tried to draw the penalty, and that's when I knew Baker's rattled. Like, that's when they had him. Like, he's kind of regressing into former Baker. Like, couldn't help but to talk a little bit of shit. And I was like, all right, I kind of like that. I like to see him getting a little loose with his emotions.
Yeah, and the shield of Baker started real early. There was a chink in it, and Mr. Chauncey Gardner with the jawing pregame all week, specifically at Baker, gets that interception early, and then as he runs out of bounds, flips it to Baker and just kind of gives him the head nod and runs away.
By the way, how is that not a penalty?
I thought what you pointed out, like, I think it was like so casual. It was kind of Kirby should have been flagged. That was like, what are you doing?
Standing over the guy. Yeah, I don't know. That's not a flag. And that could have, I don't know. I don't know. I'm happy they got the win, but there were several things. The Chauncey flipping the ball, that Kirby one was more egregious, agreed for sure. There was a couple opportunities where the lines could have been flagged. And yeah, I don't know. Especially on a play where he didn't really make like that big of a play, and like it wasn't like a hero play to stand over the tight end or whoever it was for Tampa. Yeah, questionable at best.
Well, coming as a Lions fan, you know those things are always a possibility of coming into play, and you've seen him bite us in the butt before. He's just playing loose and confident, and that's what it is. And yeah, it will come to bite him in the butt.
Yeah, you're not going to get away with that. You got to act like you've been there before. It's a young team, a team that's never been this far. A lot of these guys, you know, some on other teams, but a lot of these guys haven't even sniffed at a playoff, let alone an NFC championship. So you got to have that as a point of emphasis next week, too, in San Fran on a road matchup. You got to be ready to keep that composure. You don't want to lose that energy, but keep that composure so you don't get any BS calls down the stretch next week in Santa Clara. Talked about the injuries in this one. On the other side of the ball, Jamel Dean going down for Tampa Bay. That was, honestly, that's probably the difference maker for me in this. I hate for it to be an injury, but as soon as Jamel Dean goes down, the offense knows exactly where they got to target. I'm sorry, I don't know the guy's name right off the top of my head, but that was obviously the point of emphasis was to go after him, and that was a huge momentum shift for the offense. Finally got things to click, hit St. Brown a couple times there. And Jared, how about Jared with a little touch throw there to St. Brown for the touchdown?
Tried to have it earlier in the game.
That's the throw he completely missed on in the first part of the game, Andrew. You're 100% right.
It reminded me of the Mac Jones from earlier in the season when he just completely underthrew that easy touchdown. Like, that's what that was. Like, dude, what are you doing? Just get it there. That's all you got to do in that situation there.
But he made it up for it there down the stretch. Threw the ball 43 times. We touched on it in the preview show on Wednesday. He threw it 44 times in Tampa Bay versus Tampa the last time. Almost a mirror image Goff here today. 30 of 43 for 287 and two touchdowns. On the other side, Baker Mayfield, 26 of 41, 349, three touchdowns and two interceptions. I see Baker Mayfield at 349 here in passing yards. Which I don't know. It seems like a lot, but it also doesn't seem like a lot against the Lions defense after some of the numbers that we've seen. I mean, so I don't know. All in all, not a bad day for Baker.
349 sounds like a bad beat in sports betting.
That's what I was gonna say. If you had 350 plus on the over there, yikes.
The more concerning stat, just like it is every week, Mike Evans put up 147 yards receiving. But it's just like,
and you know what?
Crazy.
Like to start the game, I felt like he dropped a few, but they were somewhat containing him through like a quarter and a half. And I felt like, hey, maybe this is the week the Lions don't give up 120 plus to a wide receiver. But here it is again, Mike Evans down the stretch. And if we want to talk about Cam Sucking, as I've been calling him, Cam Sutton or Scam Sutton, pick your nickname on that one. We'll say as the game went on, he did get better, but it's hard not to get better from what we saw in the first half. Mitch alluded to it, trying to jam him and just completely whiffing. I don't know. I could expect it from Onuwerie, from Amani last year. But from Cam Sutton, who's supposed to be like that guy on defense.
Brought this dude in. Like,
yeah, big free agent signing from Pittsburgh. I don't know how you're not better than that.
He was with Pittsburgh, yeah. Scam Sutton almost seems a little bit better for the price tag he's at. I'd rather have who went to the Falcons, our number one pick, Mr. Jeff Okuda. I'd rather have him for that price tag if we're going to be dead honest with each other. He's fine. He just can't be left one-on-one. He can't be left single-covered with the best receiver on the team. That's just, it's going to be an impossibility for him. He's not going to do it. And Kirby gives a lot of error room. He gives a lot of wiggle room playing in that free safety role.
He sure does. And it is, you bring up a huge point, which is Cam Sutton's not quite in that CB1 category. And unfortunately, he has to be the CB1 on this team just because of the lackluster secondary. And he needs that help over the top, whether it's Chauncey or Kirby for sure. And Tracy Walker inactive today. Let's talk back about the offense. Bounce it around here. This is what happens when you record immediately after the game concludes. Let's talk about the day that Jahmyr Gibbs had, aka Cribs. Big run down the stretch.
Yeah, slipped in a little early there, didn't it?
It did. Kind of half-ass right there. But to me, it felt like those runs were there all day long, and they just couldn't break. We had one earlier in the game, second quarter, where Panay's out there pulling for and blocking, and Levante David, credit to Levante David, had a hell of a day for that defense. But shoestring tackle, which that one could have been a house call for Cribs too. But it felt like, to me, it was like, I don't know why they weren't going to that more often in the second half, and finally broke one there.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on in the first half. It seemed like the offensive line was outrunning their blocks, and you saw early Tampa got the defensive holding, where if Jonah was able to cleanly go to the second level, Gibbs might break that one. Can't remember if that was Gibbs or Montgomery on that one, but they may break that one there. But then you saw later in the second half, and specifically like late in the third quarter, early into the fourth, Sewell and all those guys who were lead blocking almost slowed down and sealed that block off that was coming behind, and then let Gibbs put a move on the second level from there. So when he was able to hit that outside, it was almost like the linemen were outrunning those blocks.
Did you think it was weird? We saw more. I was texting you guys about it. I thought at one point Montgomery was hurt because it was just, usually it's a little bit more balanced between the two backs. And today it felt like there was an emphasis on Gibbs. I don't know if they were trying to show him something they didn't see before with Gibbs not playing in the game last time against the Bucks, and Monty was hurt in that one too. So I don't know. I thought that was weird. Did you guys think that was weird?
Well, my guess is this due to his pass blocking. We saw it two games ago. He really struggled in the pass blocking. They pulled him for that, and he sat down because of it. And then you saw he ended up getting that chop block, and he sat down for a while after that. So it's almost like that when they know he struggles picking up that blitz, where Gibbs did an outstanding job of it today. So I think that was like the biggest difference, is where you needed him. But when you have Montgomery in, it's almost like a highlight for the defense. Like, okay, we got one here, right? So it's tough to trust him. And then you see Craig comes in as well, and he's the one who snatches up that touchdown because he's the perfect decoy.
Shout out to Craig. You guys want to talk about that sequence of fourth down? Or that whole sequence of downs where they run the ball on first down, I believe, and they get down, they run it for like 6 yards, get inside the 5 yard line, and then go pass with not only a pass play on second down, but an empty set. You guys want to talk about that?
I think you can just kind of talk about it like to several parts of the game to what we've already talked about. This is like the Ben Johnson experience. And it's hard to complain when you put up 31 points to go to the NFC championship game, but it's just like he comes up with these strokes of brilliance sometimes where he can do any math equation in his head But sometimes when it's 2 plus 2, he comes back with a 5. And it's like, dude, just stick with what's working. Go with what you know. In that situation where it's goal to go and it takes 4 downs to get there, at the end of the game when you're wearing them down and the run game is there and Gibbs is busting all these loose, and for some reason we're trying to get too cute with play action passes or what have you, it doesn't make sense. If it helps us get to all these, you know, league-leading statistics on offense, great. But it is entirely frustrating at times.
To a degree, I fully understand where he's coming from. He's doing his best, and Dan said it when the Lions had Hard Knocks. He said it at the very beginning, and it all comes from the same place. It's the ideology. They want to put the players in the best place to succeed, right? So they come out in these different sets. They try to catch the defense off guard with something they're not expecting. Bowles is a really good defensive coach, so Bowles knows what to do in those situations. So what's Ben Johnson want to do? Let's get a step ahead of him. Let's give him something the defense won't be expecting here. The biggest issue for me is that empty set. You at least have to pose the threat of the run, because we know Jared Goff is not the quarterback that gives you that posed threat of a run in the backfield inherently. And Mitch, he may be a viewer because he listened to you today. He was able to tuck and run and at least get a couple of them. But yeah, the empty set was the biggest thing for me, but I understand what Ben Johnson is trying to do. Be innovative and catch the defense off guard. Try to be a step ahead.
That had to be the over for Goff's rushing yards too. I'm sure that's always set at a low mark, right? That 7 yards he ran right there, that probably got it, right?
100%. I'll tell you, last week, CJ Stroud against the Browns was 11.5. I bet Goff's is literally 4.5 every week. It could be lower.
They did go in victory formation again. He lost a couple.
I don't know that they count those. I know they don't count sacks, but maybe they do. I guess
they sure do in fantasy.
If yeah, your commissioner's a coward.
-0.1, -0.1.
It's called integrity of the stat line.
Got to keep it true. Speaking to your point, Andrew, about Ben Johnson, he is a wild card. And you love that. You love that from a guy. But I think that was the most fascinating part about watching this game is you're right. Two geniuses on both sides of the ball. And it was basically just a chess match between that offense and the defense all game long. We saw on the, forgive me for not remembering where it was, but the Lions go with the blitz there right after the Baker Mayfield sack. That wasn't a sack because Dan didn't challenge it. And the refs didn't call his calf down. And so it's third down there. And the Bucs score on that play on a little screen pass. Caught the Lions on the blitz there. It was fascinating to watch that all game long. It was just a chess match between the play callers on both sides of the ball. And I think you're right, Ben Johnson, trying to catch him off guard. He's a wild card. I don't know how you try to catch him off guard, though, when you have an empty set, like you said. No illusion there. You know what they're going to do. How about a couple shout-outs to the wide receivers here in this one? St. Brown, once again, a huge play on 3rd and 15 to get a first down there and does find the sticks. So a two-parter here. St. Brown finds the sticks there, but early in the game, just seems like his field vision isn't there, right?
I complain about this a lot. He never knows where the sticks are. Either that or he knows where they are, and he either does the... It's almost like whatever he needs to do, he does the opposite. So if he needs to do the spin move or put a move on, he'll just run out of bounds. And if he needs to just run out of bounds, he'll try to put the spin. I don't know. It's frustrating.
Trying to do whatever he can for the axe.
Yeah. I mean, and he is. He's like best in the league, I think, or top 3 in the league in yards after carry. But sometimes you just got to get what's there. And even on the one, I think Andrew, you agreed right away, like, he probably has a touchdown if he just follows Gibbs blocks and cuts it up instead of trying to go farther outside. I don't know, but he also comes up in the most clutch moments all the time.
That was really my weird issue. You know, I thought if he cut that up, he was scoring early on, and I was looking for my St. Brown 2 touchdown prediction. But at the same time, you know, you live and die with it. He makes absolutely massive plays. But I will say, as of late, it seems like he's trying to do a lot and maybe a little too much. But to his credit, you know, things are working. So why change it?
Yeah, the biggest one was that one you spoke of. Like, that was just weird. When you're inside the 10 yard line and to go outside there and not follow your blocks. Very, very curious. The other curious moment he had was when he had that uncharacteristic drop over the middle. Obviously, looking ahead at that defender that was going to blow him up. But yeah, that you become so you start taking it for granted that every ball going his direction is just automatic catch, because it 99 times out of 100 it is, because of all that work he does on the jugs machine.
But even the like. He also, I think, is really good at when he catches the ball, especially in the middle of the field, a lot of times he just goes down. Like, he doesn't even risk a big hit. But yeah, I think you're right. He heard footsteps because he's still braced for the hit. But yeah, just do what you usually do, dude. Just snag it and go down if you want to. Still would have had the first down. Go down, roll around a little bit for a couple extra yards, would have been fine.
Can you guys believe that Sam Laporta had 9 catches in this one? I'm looking at the box score right now. I wouldn't have guessed he had 9.
I feel like he was peppering the defense to start the game for sure. And he looked good today. Like he looked very good.
Mitch or Ben, I was also looking at that. I saw pop up here on the Lions post game here. What longest catch was 15 yards, something like that. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. I don't remember seeing him catch the ball 9 times. I was thinking maybe 4 or 5.
For sure. Another shout out too to Jameson Williams. 2 big catches in this one for 35 yards. Once again, not a ton of targets. Only 4 targets, 2 catches in this one, but a couple big catches down the stretch, and just opens up that offense even more when you can spread the ball and you don't have to go to St. Brown and Laporta every single time. If you can just have a couple extra catches from Jameson and Josh Reynolds in this one, that helps this offense tremendously. What else from the offense? I don't know. I don't have anything else. We'll see what the prognosis is on Jonah and Frank as far as their availability for next week. But do you guys remember Matt Nelson on that offensive line? A throwback name?
Is he there on the practice squad?
Well, he could play the backup center role. Right now the Lions only have 1 center, and that's Frank Ragnow. And so if they want to play somebody else there, they can shift Glasgow over or somebody. But Matt Nelson went on injured reserve early in this season. He's been eligible to return from injured reserve for months. And so I don't know. Maybe this is a situation where they bring him back. I don't know what his readiness is as far as injury goes, but is eligible to return from the IR. So that may be a move that they make in the midweek moves here.
I've got one more thing for the offense for you guys. Didn't even put 2 and 2 together. Amon-Ra was doing Baker's rookie dance. This is touchdown dance. Remember that when Baker got drafted and he was doing his big thing and he kind of shifted his dances? That's what Amon-Ra was doing. They're picking on Baker a lot today.
Wah. Two interceptions for the boy today. Wah. And a couple sacks as well. How about the Andrew, you got anything else about the offense before we shift defense here? Sorry, I saw a natural transition there. What'd you guys think about the edge play there from the defense scheme, bringing Brian Branch as well as Iffy on some pretty schematic blitzes there throughout the game?
When you sell it like Iffy, I mean, my God, he gave no indication that he was going to come on that blitz and timed it perfectly as well. I will tell you, the scariest thing for me was when Aiden went out into coverage. I don't know if anybody noticed that. At one point, he shifted out there, and I thought it was over top of Godwin at first, and I was very, very, very worried. And then he just kind of passed him off, but it was his guy that ended up catching it.
I think honestly, I probably wouldn't use it on this. Like, Aaron Glenn is a great defensive coordinator. Like those, the blitzes were so perfectly timed, except for the screen, and that just happens. I mean, that's just what I feel like an offensive coordinator, when they see a blitz coming on a screen, they just start high-fiving people before the play is even over. Like, nailed it. But if Aaron Glenn has one, I don't even know how to top 15 cornerback, doesn't even have to be like a stud, but like one top 15 cornerback, this defense is completely different. So I know we've been tough on Aaron Glenn sometimes, but I think his second half adjustments and some of the things he's called this year have put them in a chance to in a position to win with suspect talent at the cornerback position.
Live action, Josh Allen runs it in to take the lead over the Chiefs 10-3 early in the second quarter.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we got to get a couple scores already. Jeez. We've been talking for a while then. It's already into the second quarter. My gosh. Let's keep this train moving then. Missed field goal by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a doink. I don't know about you guys, but I was worried that it was going to doink in based on the angle that it was at.
Honestly, thought he did it first.
It hit the goalpost so squarely, though. Like, that was a loud doink.
I also, like, shouted, "Did you hear it?"
You could see that one. It was one of those ones where you could kind of telegraph that it was going towards that upright. Boom. Right off the upright and no good. That was sneaky huge in this one. What kind of numbers do we have on defense? Brian Branch, your leading tackle, or BB and Iffy both had 9. Anzalone with 6. Aiden, 4 tackles, had the 1 sack and a TFL. Iffy, the 1.5 sacks, and Brian Branch with a sack as well. So four sacks for this Lions defense today. 4 sacks. That's the kind of production you got to have out of this defense. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they had about 4 sacks against Tampa Bay the first go around too. So good to see that, the pressure that they're bringing. And, you know, Mitch is right when he says they, if you give AG a cornerback that can play CB1 type games, I think, you know, in a game like this, you might see a final score more like 31-10. And it's unfortunate that you just have those drives where they just can't stop anything. And you can see it. You can feel it. I don't know about you guys, have that feeling where that you see teams go up against this defense and put together a drive and you just feel like no doubt that this is going to result in points. It sucks.
The redeeming quality is, though, you know, they get beat over the top a lot of the times, but when the field shrinks down, they become a really hard defense to move the ball on. And inevitably just punch it in. Like, you have to earn it a lot of the times on them. Now, I mean, if you're going to beat the corner over the top, mainly Cam Sutton, not deserted island, probably the most populated island in existence right now. Unless you're going to beat him over the top, they're hard to get it past in the red zone. They're a hard defense to score it on.
Yeah, Cam Sutton, I tried to give him the nickname of Sutton's Bay earlier this year when he... in the offseason, I should say, not even earlier this year. I tried to give him that nickname preemptively, and definitely not living up to that. Needs help. Defense still just, that's going to be their bugaboo when it comes down to San Francisco. Mitch, you've got the line for us, right? What's the opening line for next week against San Fran?
Yeah, I do have the line. Opening is Lions +7 with the over-under 51.5. I've already seen the over under shift from 51.5 down to 50.5, back up to 51.5. So I think we're going to see this move a decent amount. I wouldn't be surprised to see people taking the lines to cover that spread, especially after the Packers 49ers game. So I feel like this could pretty easily land somewhere. I think the over shifts up a little bit, like maybe 52.5, 53. And if the Lions scoot it down to maybe +5.5, but Vegas likes the 49ers, to say the least.
Do you ever bet Lions games?
No, I don't double dip.
Smart. Smart. Yeah, you just can't do that. It's too much emotions into it.
I think I told you guys last week, I put a future on to for the Lions to win the Super Bowl, but that feels different. So no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I would take the Lions plus 7 to cover. That's not advice to anyone. Don't do anything silly. But if I were to bet the Lions, I would take them to cover plus 7.
What's that insurance
in a legal
payout?
State, I'd do the same.
You got a payout on that that Super Bowl take?
$20 to
like
win
cash
380.
Out?
Oh, cash out option? No cash out option.
Maybe after
locked
they win,
in, baby.
Maybe after they win the NFC Championship.
Well, at that point, I gotta let it ride.
What do you guys think the atmosphere is gonna be like in that game in Santa Clara? Like, what percentage of Lions fans do you think is gonna make up that crowd?
Gosh, it's not gonna be like the road games we've seen this year. The Lions fans have been amazing all year, but I'd say if they breach 15%, they did very, very well.
I'm going to say I don't know if we're going to have a fan percentage. I think the biggest issue we're going to have to look out for is the outdoor field.
Slippery.
Yeah,
slide.
Yeah, I mean, but this week's, I mean, we've already looked ahead at the weather, Tommy and I, and the weather looks a lot better than what we saw on Saturday against the Packers. Looks like it's going to be sunny at least in 70s. It looks like to me they've already resodded the grass there in Santa Clara, so you can see the between the hash marks they've got the resodded grass in there, so or turf or whatever the hell they do there up in Santa Clara.
Yeah, just not an outdoor team. That's the only thing that worries me.
Are they not an outdoor team though? I mean. Yes, they lost to Baltimore. Outside of that, they went down to Tampa and won. They went into Lambeau and won. They went into Kansas City and won. All outdoor stadiums. What's your point, bud?
It looks okay, Andrew. I'm going to give you this because I agree with you. Next weekend, 65 degrees Saturday, 69 degrees Sunday in Santa Clara.
Nice.
And Goff back in California, where he's you know, he's very accustomed to California.
Goff.
Oh, is that going to be on Fox's set list for next week?
It should.
Yeah, it's sad. We had Tirico and Collinsworth back-to-back games. I started to actually come around on Tirico after having two back-to-back games with him. It's going to be sad to have the Lions not on NBC next week, actually. I never thought I'd say that, but kind of grew on me. Nothing for me. Nothing. No Tirico. Tirico love. No Tirico hate.
I like Tirico. I like Tirico. I didn't like the asterisk stuff. I think Chris and Tirico call good games.
I refuse to come around on Tirico.
All right. There you have it. Let's roll the halftime capsules before we hit a couple extra segments about the Lions game and look at the other matchups this week in the NFL playoff divisional round.
Halftime capsule, 10-10 against the Bucks. Defense just doesn't look good. I know it's only 10 points at half, but they just don't look good. Cam Sutton is just a disgrace to any NFL jersey out there. How you whiff on a jam at the line of scrimmage is beyond me. Never seen anything like it watching football. It's bad. I think Baker's starting to get comfortable, and they got to figure out a way to get some pressure to him, or he's just going to keep picking on Cam Sutton. Offense doesn't look terrible. Two first downs on St. Brown, really. He's got that drop, which he easily gets the first, and just not really knowing where the sticks are at the end there. So got to stay out of third down situations. But other than that, the offense doesn't look terrible. Got to get a stop to start the second half, figure out a way to make Baker uncomfortable because he's going to keep picking apart the secondary and Cam Sutton, and got to stay alive and keep drives alive on offense. Go Lions.
Okay, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a close one per usual. Lions win the first quarter, Bucks win the second quarter. Cam Sutton gets exposed once again late in the second quarter, and that's the result of a touchdown there, as well as a field goal for both teams. Touchdown and field goal for both teams. Buccaneers missed the field goal. Same old Lions. That was going to doink in. Not the same old Lions anymore. So it doinked out. That was huge. Injuries. Ragnow back out there after the knee for the kneel down. Hopefully he can remain in this game. Already down Jonah Jackson, who's questionable return, but doesn't look like he's going to be back in the second half. Got to get back to basics here. Run the ball. Not running the ball well against that Tampa Bay defense. I think if you can break some runs here in the second half, that provides you a cushion to throw the ball and opportunity for points down the stretch. Lions got to create some separation in the second half. That all starts in the third quarter with the Bucs getting the ball. Got to get this crowd back involved. Let's go, Lions. Roar.
Ugh, here we are, Lions fans, halftime. Let's just say it's stinky, to say the least. Don't like how that ended. Cam Sutton once again gets beat over the top. No help for him either. Always need help over the top with Cam Sutton. That's just that's a scary island to be on for a lot of people. Other than that, the defense was looking good. The scariest part for me is that we've lost two linemen. Hopefully we're getting either one, if not both of them back. Frank Ragnow, Jonah Jackson. But that offensive... the offense in general just has to get points on the board. We're driving down there and just not cashing in on a lot of things, and it's causing to be a real thorn in our side, and that's really all of it. You're beating yourselves. Defense, help Cam Sutton out. Let's go Lions.
All right, out of the halftime capsules here, you see what we were feeling at halftime. All of us kind of singing the same tune per usual. We're just kind of upset that it was 10-10. Felt like the Lions were holding out on us, holding on the city. Couple extra segments here in this one. If you guys noticed, and I meant to bring it up in last episode, but we just got so far past it. You guys noticed Kaminsky is repping the visor these days?
Yeah, I didn't notice it until he had that swat down, that bat down at the line. But I don't know what's up with that. It seems kind of weird.
Yeah, I noticed it last week, and I thought maybe it was a one-week thing, but back-to-back weeks here for Kamish. I don't know. I like it. I think it suits him. Maybe it's a playoff visor. Just like St. Brown's doing the blue hair, Kaminsky doing the visor. I wish it was a blue visor, though. That would be a lot cooler. And there was a blowhorn at one point in the crowd. I don't know if you guys heard that. Those have definitely got to be...
Yeah, there's no way... That's not legal. You can't do any of that stuff.
Somebody snuck that in? Somebody hit it under their coat?
I think they found it, because I stopped hearing it after a while.
Yeah, I hate to find out how they got that thing in there.
Oh. Smuggled jail style.
I think you've got it pegged exactly how they got it in there.
God damn it. I knew we were going to get a P word in this episode. I just knew it. It's our thing. That's the kind of high level analysis that you will get only here on these airwaves, folks.
That's right.
That guy never came back around, never heard any comments from him. So he must have shut him up, or he actually did only listen once. Frickin' Jerry. Anything else? Anything else you guys have from this game before we talk about, everything else in the divisional round? Andrew's giving me the sign. We gotta keep this train rolling.
Let's go to the division.
Shout out Metallica. Turn the page. And Bob Seger. Actually, there's another shout out too. Bob Seger was on the field in this one.
So
last thing about the Lions.
For the folks at home, Ben's doing exactly the opposite of what he just said we should be doing.
How can I not go to Bob Seger there after Andrew throws out turn the page? I mean, and then I remember seeing him pregame. And Peyton Manning was there as well.
And then...
And then Mitch took us to the Texans-Baltimore Ravens game.
Texans and Ravens. That punt return was great. Great, great blocking, great patience, Ben. You texted that right away. Horrible spots by the refs. I didn't really notice this, but... I know the referee crew was flag happy. Flag happy for sure in this one. I don't know whose quote do we have here, Ben?
Oh, that's mine.
Ding, okay, ding, I'm going to skip it.
No, you can't.
Yeah, obviously the huh?
I said no, you can't. You have to.
Okay, go ahead.
This is what I said in the preview show on Wednesday. So I think we'll see quite the fight in the first half and some separation as the second half goes on. Ravens.
That is exactly what happened. That is factually what happened.
But yeah, an incredible punt return. I don't know why more guys aren't do that patient style. That I would love to see somebody on the Lions do that. Whether it's Peoples Jones, probably Peoples Jones at this point.
Back to Lions quick. Oh, I wanted DPJ to try and scoop that ball up. I don't know if you guys noticed this. Yeah, so like they touched it. The bus guy just kind of touched it and whiffed. It would have been a really bang-bang play, but there's no risk. DPJ, try to scoop it with one hand and go and see what happens.
And he kind of hesitated there and went for it, but, you know.
I think that's one of those moments where you just kind of like go stop thinking and think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's not a bad idea, though.
That's also fair. I think you guys are saying fair things. But yeah, 34-10, final score. Ravens ended up really doing exactly what Ben wanted, or Ben said they would do. And they pulled away. Lamar Jackson is very, very good at football when he holds onto the ball. Right, Andrew?
And holds onto his bowels.
That's more like it than what I'm saying. And I was at old BJ's Brewhouse. Don't know if anybody's ever been. We'll say it. Terrible beer. Real bad. If you want overpriced beer, go for it. If you want a Bud Light, Bud Light's way better than anything they're brewing up. But we'll say, stayed there till half. Pretty good game. Made it home. Ugly by the time we got back.
Why don't you take us to Santa Clara?
I'm not ready to. I'm still hanging bated breath. Okay, we're going. Santa Clara, Green Bay, went to San Fran, take him on. I thought the Packers were going to pull this one out. Thought they were going to have some fight as well. I don't know why Mitch is laughing and Ben's shaking his head, but I digress with those two. Done with them. Jordan Love had his best Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre moments. Tries to sling it on the run, almost does, ends in heartbreaking interception fashion.
I don't know what you're doing there. Obviously, it's a bad throw by Jordan Love. I texted you guys about it. Like, why are your wide receivers going so far down the field on a play where you don't need to get in the end zone? There's so much time left. You have timeouts, and it's not. I don't know. It was just, to me, it was more the play call than the throw. Obviously, a horrible throw. You just can't have it there for Jordan Love, and he'll learn from it. But more the play call for me. Why are you drawing that up? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ben. It's an interesting play call, but. Listen, Jordan Love has had a great back half of the season, but the hype has got to stop. Like, it's got to stop. He completed 62% of his passes for 194 yards, two touchdowns, two picks. And like, that throw at the end of the game was just a horrible. That was first year as a starter throw, is what that was. But I just.
First game as a starter.
Yeah, like. Everyone acting like he's the next Aaron Rodgers, the next Brett Favre. It's like, just calm down. Let's relax a little bit.
To his
everybody
credit,
everybody was harping on him too.
He
like
did
earlier this season. Everybody was like, you know.
Well, that's right. He told Greg Olsen pregame exactly that, and that he does make a couple unconventional throws, and they're a little dangerous. But if he's not trying to make those, then what's he doing out there? Just a game manager. Doesn't want
winning
to be
the
like
game.
That. And that's what we say. All you need is a game manager to win it. I mean, look at the NFC Championship for next week now. You've got number one pick Jared Goff versus last pick Brock Purdy. Game managers came in two different, very different spots in the draft.
I was going to note that as well. Coming out of this game, Brock Purdy, in my eyes, got exposed last week. Now, not to say he's not going to torch the Lions secondary, because I'm pretty sure the three of us could probably get 150 yards passing against the Lions secondary. But Brock Purdy had some bad throws. Yesterday. He had some bad throws yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I feel almost better going against Brock Purdy than Jordan Love. Jordan Love liable to go off for 400 against the Lions if they were facing them in the NFC Championship. I mean, the caveat to that is the Lions would be at home, and now that you're playing the 49ers, it's on the road. But Brock Purdy doesn't have the ability or the scare as much to me of just torching this off this defense secondary.
He doesn't have the arm. They have to dink and dunk you to death, and they will. But I don't.
They
think,
will, no doubt.
You're right. Jordan Love can throw a deep ball. I don't think Brock Purdy can throw it all that deep.
It reminds me of our preview show when you might not remember this, but we were talking about, you know, Brock Purdy's injury last year, and we're like, "Is Andrew?" I think you asked it. You're like, "Is Brock Purdy good to go?" And Mitch goes, "He's good to go, but I don't know if he's good to throw."
Stand by it.
All-time moment in the Lion Share podcast lore right there.
Stand by it.
I think it came true yesterday, like you said. I mean, we saw what he really is, and surely next week he'll have 350 against the Lions. But, you know, I think I would take my chances against him as versus Jordan Love.
I agree.
And we've got Kansas City and Buffalo going at it right now as we talk to you all, you shareholders. And any update? 10-3 still? 10-6.
10-6.
Buffalo 10-6. Driving.
Is it halftime yet? No.
8.5 to go in the second quarter. Buffalo 2nd and 8 from their own. Let's call it the 28. Took it to about the 35 there. So they are driving here, are going to get a first down, and they're going to keep moving those chains.
Just as a reminder to everyone, Andrew and I are on the Bills. Ben is on the Chiefs. Bills win. Be a nice little Cook brother reunion next week against the Ravens.
Ooh, good point. Forgot about that. Dalvin and God, what's the other one's name?
James.
James and Dalvin. Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, next week we'll be talking, or next episode, I should say, Wednesday, we'll give you the update on who wins that and what the AFC and NFC championship picture looks like. We'll be down to the final four, and the Lions are included in that final four. I can't believe I'm saying the sentences that I'm saying. Yeah, it's going to be incredible. And that will be the late game next week. The 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time kickoff will be the NFC. AFC will kick things off at 3:00, same as this week with the times, but the NFC championship will be the later game of the two. So we'll be back after that one on Sunday, but we'll be back on Wednesday for a preview show. So let's bring us into closing time. The real reason the Lions won is because the Pistons lost yesterday to the Bucks. We needed that to happen. Andrew, you talked about it in the group text. The Pistons won last week, earlier in the week, after the Lions won. I think that gave the Red Wings a win as well as the Pistons. But we needed the Pistons to lose right ahead of the Lions game today, because that's kind of part of the puzzle, right?
The sacrificial lambs of the seasons, we'll call them. At this point, two games removed from a Super Bowl from the Lions, or well, one win away from getting there, two from winning the Super Bowl. Those guys couldn't win another. I'll say it. Those guys could not win another game for the next 5 years, and we're not talking about going to a playoff. We're not talking about. I'd give up the Pistons' next 5 years worth of first round draft picks and W's on the season. I'd go 0-82 in the next 5 years with no first round draft picks for a Super Bowl.
I agree.
That's a bargain.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. The sacrificial lambs, this is all we have to put out there.
I'll throw the Tigers in there as well. Might as well. Whatever, okay, we got to do.
Let's have a little success in a couple franchises at one time, for God's sake.
Yeah, let's just take it easy there, Graham. Sorry. So a very long, long, long time Tiger there. I want to see some success there yet.
Still mad they didn't win at all in 2008 or whatever that was. Pissed. But shout out to Grams for sure.
Goddamn housing market.
Yeah, that's what it was, right? You can't win a World Series when you've got Comerica Bank during a housing crisis as your title sponsor of your field, Comerica Park. Speaking of places where Detroit teams play. Put this question in the notes here in closing time. I feel like Ford Field needs an anthem. What do you guys have any ideas of what the song could be? That Lose Yourself's good. I agree. Anything Eminem, anything based on a Michigan artist for sure. But it needs to be something that everybody can sing. Like all ages, all ethnicities, all walks of life. So shareholders, I'm going to pose that question to you and we'll have a little discussion here. But if anybody's got an idea of something glaring that we're not thinking of, like maybe it's Don't Stop Believing. Born and raised in South Detroit.
Too cheesy.
Yeah.
But I like, still
but there's got to be something that they can sing. Like Mr. Brightside does it at U of M. Like they need something like that.
Maybe 1 week. A little chickadee China, the Chinese chicken.
It's been 1 week since I looked at you. I don't know. I mean, I think you and I would be on board with that, undoubtedly. I don't know about the 66,000 strong at Ford Field, but I guess we'll have to save that for the offseason talk because the Lions are done at home, which is sad. Last home game. And last,
I can't wait to get the decibel reading from the end of that game. I think the interception may have been close to the record.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. They were pretty quiet. Quieter than last week. It was hard to top last week against the old quarterback, Matthew Stafford. I think they were all just, it was an impossible bar to reach. But I think you're right. The eruption that we had there might have broke 133.6. And that's what we need to see. And should have that by Wednesday for the next show.
Can I make you guys sad as we go to end this episode?
I can't.
After today, there are three NFL games left in the season.
Well, we've got the Pro Bowl. Flag football Pro Bowl between the Manning brothers.
Mitchell, that makes me sad on any normal occasion, except when your team's still in it.
Team, and your team's playing in 33% of those games.
That's incredible. Guaranteed 33%, potentially higher. Yeah. Wow. Great time. Shout out to all the shareholders who have been with us since day one. Andrew and I kind of started this journey with the idea that, you know, we would be starting it during the rebuild and, you know, kind of at the point where Dan was going to make his move as well as Brad Holmes. And we were hoping we would get this far and we hope it continues. And we thank all the new shareholders that have joined us as the Lions are hot, hot, hot right now. Everybody jumping on the bandwagon. But as Dan says, Andrew, what does Dan say? If you weren't, what's the quote? What's the quote?
If you weren't with us at our worst, something, you're not welcome. Something along those lines, right?
Boom. Exactly. Shout out to the guy in the parking garage, too, with the Aiden Hutchinson jersey that I saw at my complex here. I immediately rolled down the window and gave him a go, Lions. He looked a little confused, I might add. I'm not sure how hardcore of a Lions fan he was, but had to do it. It's that time of year.
They don't even need Dan everybody. Campbell before the game. They just need Andrew. If you weren't with us in the beginning, go home, please.
Rah, rah.
Go home. And cut. Just kidding. Let's go Lions next week against the 49ers. We'll see you all on Wednesday for the preview against Mr. Irrelevant and the 49ers from San Francisco. I'm out. Let's go, Lions.
Welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go. Man, we deep everywhere we roll. Ask around, man, they all know Tricky. Ask what's good, man, they all say Tricky. Click, click, boom, just as soon as we hit the room, you can hear them.